Kurt Vonnegut died last year at the age of 84, but a new group of never-published pieces is just out. The theme of the stories and essays is war. The collection is called Armageddon, in retrospect. Mark Vonnegut wrote the introduction to his father's book, and he joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you very much.
And if you listeners want to talk with Mark Vonnegut about his father or writing this introduction or his father's work, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And Mark, the collection starts off with a letter your father wrote shortly after he was released from a prisoner of war camp in Germany. Of course, your father survived the horrible firebombing of Dresden near the end of the war. I guess all his readers know he survived that bombing in a place called Slaughterhouse 5. Yep. Much later, he wrote that his history explained nothing about why I write what I write. And after reading this book, it's hard to understand why that could be true.
Sometime the man didn't tell the truth. I think he always wanted to be a writer. As a little kid, and he wanted to be a famous writer. And that experience, shook him to the soul, and it took a long time before he could write Slaughterhouse 5. But a lot of these stories are around Dresden and that experience. And I think it formed, if not his desire to be a writer, which predated it, it certainly informed a lot of the substance.
It's interesting. In the letter that he wrote to his parents, your grandparents, I guess he says that, I wrote you letters from prisoner of war camp, and I'm sorry to say you never got them. And that suggests that the first impressions, what he wrote about this, has been lost somewhere in the mails.
Probably. But he is also, a compulsive writer, so it's interesting that his first way of dealing with the experience is to write about it.
And on about February 14th, he wrote, the Americans came over, followed by the RAF. Their combined labors killed 250,000 people in 24 hours and destroyed all of Dresden, possibly the world's most beautiful city. And then he adds, but not me. And that little phrase, but not me, he uses repeatedly through this letter to his parents. And, it doesn't seem an awful long leap from but not me to so it goes.
It's no leap at all.
The same kind of patterns, the same kind of mind clearly at work very early in, first things he wrote. Yeah.
Right.
It's also interesting. This book is filled with pictures that your father wrote, sketches, doodles even. But a lot of them remind me an awful lot of James Thurber.
That's fair enough. He drew and painted. He had a strong belief that involving yourself in artistic pursuits like this was a way to educate yourself and a way to grow as a person. He didn't think that these drawings would amount to much, but he said that wasn't the point.
And not the point. Did he draw them for his? How did he use them?
To mark time. I mean, he did a lot of oil paintings, which are still up on the Cape and stuff. And I love his magic marker work, but I'll tell you, his oil paints are quite a bit better.
Really?
Yep.
And has any of them ever been sold?
He sold one to a neighbor for $50 once, I think. He's actually sold quite a few. He's had his more recent designs, silkscreened by Joe Pietro, and they're available at Vonnegut.com. And it's really been a little industry that he engaged in at the end of his life was making these beautiful silkscreen prints.
The book also contains a speech your father wrote for delivery in Indianapolis, April 27th, 2007, less than a year ago. Nevertheless, that was a speech you delivered for him, isn't it?
That's right. He couldn't have done it because he was dead at the time.
And it's interesting, in the book, he writes about you. In the speech, he writes about his son, who's not only a pediatrician in the Boston area, but a painter and a saxophonist and a writer. He wrote one heck of a good book called The Eden Express about his mental crack-up, padded cell, and straitjacket stuff. He'd been on the wrestling team as an undergraduate in college, some maniac. In his book, he tells about how he recovered sufficiently to graduate from Harvard Medical School. The Eden Express by Mark Vonnegut. But your father writes, don't borrow it, for God's sakes, buy it.
That was one of his themes. He believed strongly that writers should be able to make a living.
And it must have been very strange to be in that situation and reading those words on your father's behalf.
It was very strange. And a lot of times I think he would oversimplify things I said, and because he was Kurt Vonnegut, his version would win out over my version of the truth.
I suspect that might be true. Yes.
And I would every once in a while in the speech stop and correct the matter. But
he writes at several points in his speech that he's holding his right hand up in the air when he actually believes what he's saying is true.
Right. Now, he was a brilliant performer. He was a wonderful speaker.
And a wonderful last line, I thank you for your attention and I'm out of here.
Right.
A line you suggest in your introduction, well, it's hard to do any better than that.
That's right.
And that follows immediately after a really bad joke.
Right. Terrible joke.
Terrible joke.
And a lot of his jokes were terrible jokes. But again, and what I realized, the reason I could get away with reading those jokes at that auditorium was I was talking to an auditorium and a world that was completely in love with my father. So you can get away with bad jokes.
And you can get away with bad jokes in those circumstances. We're talking with Mark Vonnegut about his father, Kurt Vonnegut, of course, the famous writer, and wanted to be a famous writer all his life. Give us a call if you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Let's start with Della. Della with us from Valparaiso in Florida.
Hi.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Well, I wanted to tell a story about the time that I met Kurt Vonnegut. He was a regular customer at the coffee shop I worked in Turtle Bay in New York. And when I was there, he asked me out to dinner, and then when I asked him to say it again, he started to tell me, he said, at the risk of offending you, I want to tell you a story. I was like, okay. And, you know, I'm a huge fan, so anything he's going to say has got to be amazing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He says, during the time when brothels were in fashion, red-haired girls made a lot more money than the other girls because they're special. And, of course, as a red-haired girl, I didn't take offense to that at all as much as was kind of flattered. And I could appreciate that, you know, kind of, you know, anti-communist sentiment from, you know, Harrison Bergeron and other stories that kind of gave this idea that special people deserve to be compensated as such. And, you know, I thought it was really great. It was a nice way to meet him. It was about a year or two before he died.
Turtle Bay in New York?
Yep. And it was over across from the UN in a great little protest park, it's called, Daghammarskjöld Park.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, that's where in fact, I think that's where I first met Kurt Vonnegut many years ago.
Yeah, he used to hang out there.
Yes, indeed. But I can't tell you, Della, how glad I was that the story that you related that he told you ended right there.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you know, his stories would go on and on, but, you know, generally we were busy waiting on the protesters about to go march on the UN. So,
okay, Della, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks for having me on.
Mark, occasionally the stories didn't end at a convenient moment, appropriate for broadcasting.
Well, that's true. What I want to say about these stories is they're beautiful. They're written at a time before he was famous, and they were very carefully crafted. He had beautiful language, and they're absolutely wonderful stories to read.
And again, in the introduction, it's passed off all the time that, you know, it seems easy. It seems like the words just flow from the typewriter, the pen, or the word processor. But in fact, your father was very careful with everything he wrote.
He was very careful. And in fact, people think, oh, short sentences, this should be easy to parody. I've never seen anybody been able to parody him.
Interesting. We're talking today with Mark Vonnegut about Kurt Vonnegut's last book, Armageddon in Retrospect. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. Let's go to Chris. Chris on the line with us from Sacramento in California.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just wanted to say, when I was in high school, I had an art teacher whose brother had schizophrenia, and he ended up committing suicide. And afterwards, my teacher asked us all to read a book about schizophrenia so he could know what he was going through. And I'd been a huge fan of your dad's for a long time. And I ended up reading the Eden Express, which I enjoyed a lot and learned a lot from. And I was just curious if your dad helped you at all when you wrote the book or anything like that.
He didn't really. And he didn't want to. And he said that he just wanted to be my father. And I had other help. Writing like that is a, you know, I learned from him sort of the rhythms of how you work and what the work is about. But I had a writer named Dan Wakefield, who was also an Indianapolis person, helped me a great deal with the writing and stuff. It would have been a hard thing for him to help me with.
Right. Well, I just want to let you know I enjoyed it very much. It meant a lot to me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. And Mark, it must not have been an easy thing for you to sit down and start writing knowing that you would be compared to your dad.
That's right. I had to have a really good story before I did that.
Here's an email we have from Cosmic Ray. Did Kurt think of himself as a science fiction writer? It seemed he wasn't marketed that way. Was that by choice? I missed reading him as a kid because he wasn't.
He saw science fiction as one of the premises, as a way to describe the present. And he also saw science fiction as a category he didn't want to be put in. I believe he described it as a urinal the critics put your books in before they piss on them.
I think that may be true. You may remember Sturgeon's Law as well. The great science fiction writer Theodore Sturgeon was once asked, this is a genre where there's so much garbage. I don't think garbage was the word used. And Sturgeon replied, 94% of everything is garbage.
Correct.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Linda. Linda with us from Overland Park in Kansas.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. First of all, I need to say that Kurt Vonnegut was one of the very few subjects that my daughter and I got along on when she was going through her teenage years, so I'm very appreciative of your father. And secondly, he has just been immortalized on the television show Lost, that one of the characters became unstuck in time, and just wondering how he might have felt about that, if you could kind of give us your conjecture on that.
I don't watch that much television, so I'm not much good to you.
And I'm kind of guessing that he didn't probably either.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thanks very much for the call, Linda. So long. Let's go now to Matt, and Matt's calling us from Rochester in New York.
Hi.
Hi there.
I wanted to ask, I remember reading in an essay that Kurt Vonnegut was bothered by the fact that the New Yorker would never publish him. Was he sensitive about perhaps not being taken seriously in some literary circles?
He was. He had a few gripes, and one was the New Yorker not publishing him, and he wrote a poem about Joe Heller, which did get published, and he was very, very happy with that. We had a contest saying which one of us could get a letter to the editor published in the New York Times. I won with something I cared nothing about the financing of Medicaid, and he wrote me just very briefly, nice letter. And his other thing was the Nobel Prize. He assumed that his derogatory comments about the early Saab motor vehicle was the only reason that the Swedes never gave him the Nobel Prize. There were some other...
Even though the Norwegians won on the prize, but go ahead.
Right. Well, the Norwegians had things to say about the Swedes, which Kurt had repeated, and he thought that also hadn't helped his chances.
Did he have any theory why, you know, he wasn't taken seriously by, you know, whoever runs the New Yorker or whoever else he... thought didn't take him seriously? Because I'm a big fan, and it seems strange to me.
He thought that there were two kinds of writers, one who was responding to their tradition and had new literary forms and could more or less do things on command. And he saw himself more or less as somebody who was mud wrestling with ideas, and he did not, and he was trying to tell the truth, and he worked very, very hard at it, but he did not relate to literature as the history of literature, and he didn't see himself fitting in. And So he really feels that that's the way, that's part of the reason that the literary establishment or people with degrees in English and stuff didn't think he was a serious writer, but he was the most serious writer I ever knew.
Hmm. Matt, thanks very much for the call. And Mark Vonnegut, I called this book just a moment ago Kurt Vonnegut's last book, but is that the case? Is there other material that is as yet unpublished?
I don't think there's a whole nother book. There's certainly a lot of stuff. This is he was funny. I wonder if he would have been enthusiastic about publishing this. He was a complete perfectionist. He said in his last collection of short stuff, the Bangaboo Snuff Box, which I thought, again, were very beautiful, well-crafted stories, he said, these are the worst of the worst. Do not let my grandchildren see them. It's done enough. And but there is, I haven't really had the time to go through letters or this or that, and I don't think we want to make an industry of it. I think this is a beautiful collection that stands by itself and probably should be the end, but if where the circumstances or the material arose, I don't know.
Mark Vonnegut, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Mark Vonnegut wrote the introduction to his father Kurt Vonnegut's book of essays, Armageddon, in retrospect. He joins us today from our bureau in New York. You can read that introduction on our website, as well as hear audio, Rip Torn reading one of the essays, at npr.org/talk. Tomorrow, it's The Political Junkie. Yes, Ken Rudin is back. This is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.